Good afternoon, Dave and Eagles fans. Everyone, welcome to the NovaCare Complex, our Xfinity studio. I'm Dave Spadaro on a rainy Wednesday here at the NovaCare Complex. The Eagles on the practice field, and we've got a show for you. Show of shows. We have Mike Quick coming by. We've got Merrill Reese stopping by. We've got our one-on-one with head coach Chip Kelly, presented by Gatorade, of course. And more than anything, we've got news of the day. Chip Kelly stepping up to the podium this morning, if you caught it live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and made his decision for the starting quarterback in Sunday's game at Oakland. We go to the latest headlines with Chris McPherson.
Good afternoon, Dave, and Eagles fans out there. For your taste, headlines, we'll start with the quarterback situation. Head coach Chip Kelly met with the media just a short time ago and said that Nick Foles had a good day of practice and that he will be the starter this Sunday against the Oakland Raiders. Michael Vick underwent an MRI on his hamstring on Monday. Nothing new to report there. The latest is that he's not expected to play this week. Beyond that, it is unknown at this point. Now, who will be the starting quarterback moving forward for the Eagles? Head coach Chip Kelly said he's taking it on a week-by-week basis, basically determining it based on the player's health. Now, Nick Foles, after practice on Tuesday, said that he is not going to let that game against Dallas define him, and he's looking forward to getting back on the field, and he will obviously get to do so this Sunday in Oakland. The Eagles, making a move at the trade deadline on Tuesday, sending defensive tackle Isaac Sopawaga to the New England Patriots. Sopawaga and a sixth-round pick in 2014 was sent to New England, and the Eagles are getting a fifth-round pick next year in return. The reason? The young players on the defensive line to get them more snaps, specifically players like Clifton Gethers, Benny Logan, the third-round pick, and Damian Square. Kelly said that the depth of the defensive line is the strongest part of the defense right now, and he wanted to get more action for his young players. Coming up a little bit later here on Eagles Live, head coach Chip Kelly's one-on-one interview with Dave Spadaro, presented each and every week by Gatorade. And following practice, we'll have LeSean McCoy's and D'Amico Ryans' press conferences. That'll do it for today's headlines. Let's send it back to the Xfinity studio for more Eagles Live with Dave Spadaro.
All right, thank you very much, Chris. No surprise that Nick Foles gets the nod on Tuesday. He met the media after practicing for the first time and said he felt great. Reports great that he, the way he practiced, everything checking out the right way for Nick Foles, and time for him to get another start and wipe that taste of the disappointment against the Dallas Cowboys out of his mouth. And really excited for him to get back under center, or in this case, for the most part, in the shotgun position, and give it a go against the Oakland Raiders, an outstanding defense. Let's see if the Eagles offense can get some stability back at the quarterback position and regain that explosive element it had offensively early in the season. Now, Chris mentioned the trade, Isaac Sopawaga. He goes to the New England Patriots along with a sixth-round draft pick, the Eagles getting back a fifth-round pick in 2014. So you're looking at a difference of maybe 10, 12, 15 draft picks for the Eagles to sweeten the pot in their draft class. Two picks in round number five next May. So what do they do with those picks? Well, we'll get to it when it's time. Interesting press conference from Chip Kelly this morning. Really animated when asked about Michael Vick and where he fits in. And what the head coach said is absolutely the truth. It is a one-game season every week. So all of these questions about the big picture and the franchise quarterback and down the line, and you know, as I found out this morning interviewing Chip one-on-one, which you'll see in a little bit here, asking about leads in the NFC East, not advisable. His mind is on the Oakland Raiders. And in just a moment here, when we return from break, we talk to head coach Chip Kelly, his exclusive one-on-one presented by Gatorade. On the other side, a lot of show to get to, including your calls, your predictions, your thoughts on Nick Foles, the trade of Isaac Sopawaga, the Eagles, as they go into Oakland on Sunday. I'm Dave Spadaro. We're coming right back.
And action. What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's time for our weekly one-on-one with head coach Chip Kelly, presented by Gatorade. I'm Dave Spadaro. We welcome you inside our studio, Coach. A big one this week in Oakland, another road trip. And again, quarterback is what you're answering all the questions about. How do you look at it as we sit here right now and kind of monitor things the rest of the week?
Just go with what the doctors and the trainers tell you who's available, and then we get ready and prepare to go play Oakland.
Nick met the media on Tuesday, and very composed, you know, very matter-of-fact about the game in Dallas, the game against Dallas. How do you think he handled the disappointment of that game and then the concussion and missing a week?
Yeah, I think Nick's disappointed in how he performed against Dallas. I think we all are. We didn't play very well on the offensive side of the ball against him. So, I think we got a team that doesn't make excuses and knows the only way to fix things is to go back to work, and that's what Nick does.
That's what you look for, I guess, with every player. When good or bad, they go back, they study what they did well, they learn from things that they didn't do as well.
Yeah, and I think it's not just a flippant statement, is that people that make excuses don't recognize that they made mistakes. You know, they try to blame it on somebody else. But I think for you to get better as an individual, you have to understand, first own what you did wrong, and then figure out what you got to do to fix it. And I think our guys understand that. You know, there's not a lot of finger pointing when things don't go the right way. And there are going to be times when you face adversity. But when you face adversity, you try to blame other people for it instead of saying, hey, this is what I did. We all contributed to it. Now how do we fix it? And I think that's what we're doing.
Nick talked a lot about mechanics. So when a player does that, when he has a breakdown, as coaches go back and say, all right, let's drill him on these particular things that didn't go well in that game, or do you – pay more attention to, how's it working?
We pay attention to him every day, so it's not something where, you know, he wasn't throwing the ball well in practice and then, you know, missed receivers and said, don't worry about it, we don't have time to do that. I think every day we're very consistent in our approach. Nick's very consistent in his approach, and he was off against Dallas, and he'll continue to work to understand, you know, about getting his feet set in the right manner and putting the ball in receivers where they're supposed to be, but we have all the confidence in the world in him.
Chip, this offense, a couple of tough games. You've answered questions about it, obviously. This week, the Raiders, excellent defense, very fast to the football. What do you need to do to get back on track?
You just need to execute it at every position. It's never falls on just one guy's shoulders. You know, there's 11 guys out there, and everybody needs to contribute. You just have to understand your role in terms of what play is called and what you're supposed to do, and just go out and execute, and then be consistent in that execution. You know, so it can't be play well for two plays and then take three plays off. It's a consistent effort over the course of the game, and eventually things will work out for you.
It seems some people believe that the idea of, you know, trickery is, you know, what makes an offense work in the NFL. Do you believe it is execution?
It's an execution at whatever level you're at. I don't I mean, you may be able to sneak a trick play in there every...
Deception, I guess, is what I... There's no such thing really as deception in the NFL. Everybody knows what everybody's doing.
Yeah, by and large, yeah. I mean, you may have a new play, or every once in a while you can spring something on them because you saw it in film, but, you know, you can't live your life that way in terms of... and be a consistent football team. You know, you have to be sound fundamentally. You got to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to throw the ball. You got to be able to decipher what the defense is doing, and then, you know, if they're trying to take something away, you kind of go in a different manner. But it still comes down to, in this game, execution, and the teams that execute the best win.
Coach, the average age of this roster dropped to 25.9 years with the trade of Isaac Sopawaga on Tuesday. You're giving Benny Logan and Damian Square a chance to play more. What can you tell me about those two players and the faith you have in them?
Well, I think there's a lot of guys who need to play more. Clifton Gethers had an outstanding game on Saturday and only had 13 plays but had three contacts with the ball. So it's a matter of just, we feel we have some depth on the defensive line, some really, really good young players that need to get some more snaps. And, you know, Soap was a real good player here, and we felt when you're in a trade situation, you want to be in a win-win. You know, you're not going to fool anybody and say, hey, we'll give you, you know, this guy and try to get 27 things back. It doesn't work that way. It's got to work for both sides. Obviously, the Patriots had a need up front on the defensive side of the ball because of some injuries, and we felt like the one position on our team where we have some depth is the defensive line. And when Damon Square has been inactive for the last four games, I think, or six games, but is a real good football player for us. So, you know, if Soap were out from an injury standpoint, then we would have no hesitation just activating Square on game day. So it's just a matter of feeling that we got some youth, you know, guys like Logan, guys like Square, guys like Gathers, just getting them an opportunity to get more reps, and we feel like we'll be okay up front.
It is a young group, and this is game number 13 for them, four preseason games, game number 9 in the regular season. What do you tell these young players who are not necessarily used to this kind of grind after a college season?
We never use the word grind. I think people that work construction grind, that's a whole different mentality that we have, is that I haven't seen any effects from our guys. They come to work every day. We have a rhythm that we get into starting on Tuesday and finishing on Sunday, and got a bunch of guys that love playing football and love practicing football, and we'll continue to do that.
Well, Terrell Pryor, the quarterback on the other side of the football for the Raiders, very mobile, big play, big arm, challenges for the defense to contain him. Is that the first priority?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing I think with him is that his size. You know, usually you don't have someone that big that fast, you know, so when you hit him, you got to wrap him up. There's times when, you know, when you watch a film, have him contained, but then he gets out of it just because he has the ability to break tackles and run with the football. And he is a true dual threat. He had a 93-yard run, the longest run in NFL history for a quarterback just this past Sunday versus Pittsburgh. And he's really grown as a passer. You know, he's really got a good understanding, and I think they put him in good situations. You know, he's not going to throw the ball 50 times against us on Sunday, but they're going to mix the run and the pass, and they put him in situations to make plays. We got to make sure we stay in our rush lanes, and we kind of keep him hemmed in and do a good job of taking away what he's trying to throw the ball to. But I'm confident that Billy and that defensive staff will put a good plan together for him.
What's been the key to such a good run defense this year?
There's just the consistency in terms of how these guys approach practice. And, you know, I've watched them improve from week 1 to week 8, you know, and we haven't changed anything. We didn't do anything. We didn't add anything new to what we're doing defensively. We'll just continue to do the same things. Our guys feel more comfortable with it. They communicate better now than they did in week 1, which is understandable because they're a lot more familiar with what we're trying to do. The fundamentals have stayed the same. The practice has stayed the same. It's just it's a improvement because of what they take pride in their work, and they work on it every day. And when we're out there in those training sessions,
what are the Raiders doing to you? What do you see from a characteristic standpoint?
Very athletic and very aggressive. You know, they've got a couple guys on the defensive front that can really rush the passer. And then when you get into third down, they kind of get into a real good nickel package and sub package and blitz you from all different angles and try to match up and play man. And you got a safety in Charles Woodson in the back end that can really keep things together. It's a good front. You know, Nick Roach at linebacker and Houston on the defensive line. I think they've got really good players at each level. And they play hard and they're physical.
Just one game back of Dallas, midway point here in this regular season. Do you mention that to the players at all? Is it a theme at all?
No.
Yeah, it's simply go out and win this football game.
Look, we've said it every week. It doesn't matter if you're in first place after the ninth game of the season. So, I mean, there's no reason. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. All right. Well, let's go out and win this game on Sunday in Oakland. Coach, thank you very much. Okay. Chip Kelly, one-on-one in studio, presented by Gatorade.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
The lead over the middle.
Dude, it's huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling, and I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro in studio here. The Eagles on the practice field, and in case you somehow missed it, Chip Kelly naming Nick Foles as the starting quarterback Sunday in Oakland. Beyond that, well, let's take a look at the schedule and see if there is any sort of thing we can read into the tea leaves. The Eagles' upcoming schedule presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit the NFL.com/ticket exchange. The Raiders on Sunday, the Eagles Nation meets the Black Hole once again. Hasn't happened very much after that. A game that really will tell the tale as far as just how far this Eagles defense has come when the defense meets the great Aaron Rodgers and a potent offense in Green Bay. Then it's a rematch against the Redskins at Lincoln Financial Field. Eagles take the bye week, and then five games in December. Certainly you expect the NFC East to be decided there, that last game against the Cowboys looming large. Take some phone calls, 215-339-6709. We ask you to make your predictions, the Eagles and the Raiders. Also to talk a little Nick Foles. And then it was interesting, and we're showing this a little bit later on, but when asked about Michael Vick, I just thought it was inspiring to hear Chip talk about the philosophy here. You know, we talk, you and I talk a lot about the future and who's the franchise quarterback, what does the Eagles team look like, and 2014, and as far as Chip Kelly is concerned, this is a one-week season, week-to-week. Now, Michael Vick's MRI that he took over the weekend, really on Monday, showed that his injury is in the same place, the hamstring still strained. He takes part in practice today in these individual workouts, but not in the teamwork. So, sounds like Michael might be a little ways away here. Eagles going with Nick Foles, and Nick Foles is the focus. He is the focus. Now, will the Eagles add another player, quarterback? Unlikely. I don't believe all the Tim Tebow rumors. There are only 52 players on this roster right now, so there is a 53rd spot that needs to be filled. No word on whether that will be filled today, tomorrow, a little bit later. We do not know that answer. 215-339-6709. Let's go to Maryland and talk to Paul. Paul, welcome to the show.
Dave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. I'm inspired, ready for this game.
Yes, we need a win, brother.
You know, that Giants game, man, it was awful, bro. That was awful. I was throwing up at halftime, and it wasn't even from alcohol. I was poor.
You know, it's a mystery, Paul. It's a mystery what's happened to the offense here the last couple of weeks. And I think this is a really good indication of what the Eagles have in terms of the adjustments that they're going to make. I mean, this is critical to get this thing going. And I think having some stability at quarterback obviously will help.
Absolutely. And, you know, luckily for us, Dave, you know, we're in a poor division right now. So like I said, you know, I still feel like, you know, it's attainable that we can win it. You know, I'm not a big Nick Foles fan, but contrary to belief, you know, I'm not actually a Michael Vick fan anymore either.
Anymore? Why not?
Well, I think that train has left, honestly. And, Vick had a good career, a good highlight film. But, you know, 4 years into it, Dave, I think it's time to move on. I mean, even if Vick is healthy, like I said, I'm not big on Foles, but I would rather see Foles on Matt Barkley in there for the rest of the season, just so we can find out what we got and move on from it.
I'll tell you, Paul, I think the way Chip wants to run this quarterback position for the rest of the year is obviously on a game-by-game basis. But, you know, you obviously want to keep Michael Vick healthy. You want to get Matt some practice reps. You want to keep Nick healthy, get him in. It's Nick Foles' job right now, and he has to perform, and we'll see where he's at. And I will not count out Michael Vick. I did not think Michael Vick would be back in 2013. He came back. He was playing well until he suffered the hamstring injury, and I'm never going to count him out. But I do think it'll be tough for him to come back from this injury. I mean, he's an elite athlete with a hamstring injury. It's hard to come back from that.
Well, Dave, let me ask you this real quick. Even if he comes back 100%,
I know what you're saying. Why play him? Why play him? It's not the future, right?
Exactly. I think it's, and when we had how many quarterbacks coming out that'll, you know, pretty much, so they say, quote unquote, fits Chip Kelly's offense.
Well, I think Chip answered that question, Paul, when he said, I'm not looking at 2014. I'm looking at 2013. Right. So if you get to the end of the season here and you know, you got a chance to make the playoffs, and Michael Vick's your only healthy quarterback, you play Michael Vick. It's not about, look, the Eagles are one game back of the Cowboys, and I know 3-5 is not what you're thinking playoffs, but you got to, you take whatever you want to win week to week. I mean, again, we're going to play the highlights here, but Chip said, if he doesn't win, you know, how long is he going to be here? I mean, this team, you got to win in the NFL.
And I know Philly's a hard place to be a head coach at. I mean, I'm just looking at longevity.
Yeah.
But Dave, let me go ahead and get my prediction real quick.
Yes, sir.
I'm probably
Yes.
16-10.
Wow.
I think the defense is going to step up. I think it's, you know, we never play well when we go to Oakland, man, for some reason, in my opinion. So I think it's going to be a low scoring game. If Nick Foles does play bad, you best believe I will be calling back and throwing him underneath the bus.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for the call. It's amazing. We've talked about this over the weeks that the scores, when you predict them in past weeks, 45 points, 42 points, 38 points. Now we're talking 16-10, 14-13. The offense got to get back on track here. All right, listen, it is the Halloween season. Tomorrow is Halloween. Anybody who has kids, it's a special time. It's a fun time. A couple of Eagles players, Michael Kendricks and Najee Good, a couple of linebackers, having some fun. It's a feature that we're going to run on Inside the Season. A little trick-or-treating by the Eagles and the linebackers.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Mike Kendricks.
What's up? My name is Najee Good.
And we're here tonight at the Night Terrors Creamy Acres, and we're here to have some fun tonight.
Check out it now and see what screams they got to offer.
Ooh.
Real-life Call of Duty, zombies.
This is
about to go do it right now. Need to come to Night of Terror? Go ahead and get your zombie shooting on.
How you doing, man? Mike.
How's it going, man? Ron Ambrose.
Nice to meet you. How you doing?
How's it going? Hey, welcome Creamy Acres.
Thank you for being here.
Sure.
This is crazy
to be here.
Yeah, we got this new thing going on right now. It's called Haunted Paintball Hayride.
Yeah.
It's freaking wild, man. You get out there, you're shooting MTs. MTs are... Moving targets.
I heard.
Once they get out there, they'll tell you to start firing and just keep rapid firing, man.
My name is Mike Kendricks. I play for the Eagles, and this is Najee. He played for the Eagles, too.
How you doing? Nice to meet you guys.
We're going to be joining you guys today. Who's going to have the highest score?
Yeah.
He's ready.
When adrenaline gets the pump, you can't hold me back, you know what I'm saying? You just got to...
I want to let y'all know I'm going 200 for 200 with every shot.
Calm down, bro. You ain't got no aim.
200 for 200.
You can't hit that duck.
Welcome to the Haunted Paintball Hayride at Creamy Acres. You will receive approximately 200 rounds of ammunition. When instructed by your wagon instructor, you will be then able to start shooting attacking zombies.
Something's not right here, man. Something's gonna pop out, bro.
Get him!
Oh! Oh my God! Hey, there's someone coming around this corner. Light him up.
That gotta hurt. Where you at, Mike? Where you at, Mike? Oh, rapid fire.
If they didn't have that protection on, it would be bad for them. Great time.
Some of the zombies is dancing, really can't dance, but I'm gonna try to shoot them down.
Ooh, I think he might have got his neck, bruh. Cause he reacted. Where is he at? I wanna hit him.
Dog, I think I got one right in the head.
Yeah, got him.
I'm connecting, bro.
Oh, yeah! Hey, bro.
Right the fire, right the middle.
Look at that. Boom, boom, boom. The best part is when you get right in between the seam of their protection, their helmet and their jacket.
Mike trying to hurt people.
I'm just saying, man. It was fun, man. I had a great
time. If you ever need to learn how to shoot a zombie, you could definitely start here.
Hey, hell no, man. What? That was good.
We have any zombies left out there? No, get them all.
I got them all. I was shooting with two guns. At one point in time, I was shooting with three.
Three.
It was serious. Back and forth. Just killing them.
Man, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it, but I got another special thing for you.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna let you guys go out there and do some scaring out on a haunted hayride. Yeah, I get you guys up for that or what?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go get you guys set up. Let's go.
Oh, yes. This is me. I'm scared of clowns, so I know this is going to scare somebody. I mean, that's crazy.
All right, you guys all ready? What we're going to do, we're going to set you up right in one of these spots, real good spot for you to scare. They're going to be coming in. Boom. You'll be able to slam them. Go.
All right. Let's go. I'm ready. Good. I'm going to try to scare the whole wagon right now. We're going to find a place to hide. We're going to wait for our cue, and we're going to run up on them. We're going to try to get these guys. So, watch this.
Don't get on.
So where'd you come out from?
I was hiding behind over there.
I don't like my hiding spot. I didn't scare anybody.
Just follow them and don't say anything. Watch what they do.
Did you get him?
You did.
I suck, man. I'm not good at this. You get a little bit of adrenaline rush, and you put it on the show for these people.
I tell you what, you guys are pretty good out there. I might have to have you come back again sometime.
No, we would love to.
Anytime. Come out to check out the best place, Creamy Acres. It's a wonderful scare, safe, good, clean, fun.
Be here, be scared.
All righty. The Inside the Season show airs Friday at 1:05 a.m., Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. on 6 ABC in Philadelphia, presented by Verizon Wireless, and, of course, available to you online on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's go to the phones and talk to our buddy Jimmy the Geek in Las Vegas. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Dave. Happy Mischief Night.
Thank you. It is Mischief Night, isn't it?
Yeah, remember the old days when you soaked windows and threw corn and did crazy... I guess that's sort of a loss today.
I never threw corn. Tomatoes, a little toilet paper here and there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good, clean fun.
Yeah, good, clean
fun. How about the D? I'm really excited about the maturation of Billy D's D.
I agree.
I just think that if they continue to play as solid as they have, that the offense will catch up. When was Foles concussed?
He was concussed on the last play of the third quarter.
Really?
Yes.
So in watching the first couple of quarters...
Had nothing. There was no groin injury. There was no concussion. Nick had as Nick explained yesterday, I thought he did a really good job. Very poised. Very mature. He played a poor game. And that's the excuse. He played a poor game. He thought his mechanics were off. He was inaccurate. He didn't rip it. He just didn't play well. And we have to accept that. There's no hidden secrets. There's no nothing that medically that was wrong. He just didn't play well.
Yeah, they're like all of it. You have good days and bad days.
There we go.
I like the Sopa Agua move. I like moving up from the sixth to the fifth. I think that it's a relatively deep draft. I think we're going to get some value there. You have a chance for Benny Logan and some of these other guys.
Yep, Damian Square. You'll see Clifton Gathers playing. It's not bad. Hey, Jimmy, give me a prediction for Sunday.
27-17, Dave.
Okay.
27-17. And I know that I sideline passes for Oakland, but I've got a challenge. I'm not going to be able to make the game. So can I push that to another time?
Yes, absolutely.
I won that, as you recall.
Yes.
Guessing the draft pick. Let's turn this around on the West Coast this week. Go Eagles.
Get your butt to an Eagles game, Jimmy, all right?
Dave, you know I will.
All right, let me know.
Take care, my friend.
All right, thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy giving us the prediction, 27-17. We take a break now. When we return, it's time to talk to the Eagles broadcast team, Merrill Reese and then Mike Quick, in interesting positions. Back to Oakland we go. Merrill's obviously been to Oakland, was there for the Eagles in Super Bowl 15, and Mike Quick playing in the Raiders world, and it's not a pretty one. We talk to both of them in just a moment here. On the other side, it's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. We're coming right back.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Well, we're at the midway point of this 2013 regular season. Dave Spadaro, joined by the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. And let's talk about some of the highs and not so highs of this first half of the year, Merrill. As you look back at eight games, what did you like from the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, unfortunately, the highest high was the first half of the Redskins game. And that doesn't mean that there weren't other highs or other highlights. I thought that the way the Eagles came back against the Giants in the second half, the way that Nick Foles engineered that, was very encouraging. The performance of everybody in the Tampa Bay game had you coming away thinking this team is ready to roll. The biggest disappointment was the Dallas game followed by the Washington game. To this day, I do not understand what happened to Nick Foles, who has been an excellent quarterback whenever he's had the opportunity.
Right, you're talking about Dallas and then the Giants.
Yes.
When the offense really just not getting anything going. There are some certain challenges here. I'd also like to mention, Merrill, the first half of the year, love the way the defense made some strides. I think Bill Davis did a very nice job getting everybody buying into the scheme.
I agree with you, and I've been convinced. I've known Bill Davis a long time, and I know that He is as Chip said, he's a wonderful teacher. He's extremely knowledgeable. He's a good communicator. He's got a solid scheme, and we knew it was going to take time. But I think that defense is on its way to becoming a very, very solid defense. Certainly a defense good enough that if this offense were to come alive and produce at the rate that we expected, that this team would win more than it lost.
All right, the offense has to come alive, Merrill. Just has to come alive. We still have questions, obviously, about the quarterback position going into this game against the Oakland Raiders. First, let's talk about the run game. LeSean McCoy still leads the NFL in rushing with 733 yards. But been a lot different here these last several games. Not as much running room. The lane's not as wide. Hesitancy creeping into his game a little bit. Merrill, your read on what's happened to date with the run game.
It is so hard, Dave, for me to look at and tell because I have not seen the big holes for Shady McCoy to explode through. I haven't seen big lanes. At the same time, you do see Shady juking back and forth a little more than he says he should. But I can't believe that if the holes weren't there, that Shady couldn't have 100-yard-plus games. We know how talented he is. And when Bryce Brown comes in, and you know he's explosive also, he hasn't been able to produce anything remarkable.
Right. Everything's been carried to the sidelines. They're getting carried to the sidelines. So that requires the offensive line, the coaching staff, to make some adjustments here as you look ahead to the final eight games of this regular season, Merrill, with a division, by the way, that is still very much up for grabs.
Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible. But you have to consider that here in the equation. Chip and Pat Shurmur and Jeff Stoutland, everybody got to get this thing back on track.
Yeah, they do. I would like to see a lot more, and I'm not a football coach, and I don't profess to tell Chip what to do or think that I'm anywhere near as knowledgeable as anybody on this coaching staff. But just from my viewpoint, I would like to see a lot more quick action plays, have the backs closer to the line of scrimmage. I wouldn't mind seeing the quarterback under center more than we've seen him lately, where Shady McCoy starts out quicker to the line of scrimmage, and you have more of these quick opening shots.
Merrill, speaking of quarterback, that was certainly the number one story throughout the offseason, remains the number one story. Who is the quarterback of the future for the Philadelphia Eagles? Who's the franchise quarterback? Is he on this roster? What have you seen from Michael, from Nick, from Matt?
I like Michael. I respect Michael as a great athlete, as a guy who has worked hard, who has been dedicated, who has been every inch the locker room leader, just a great guy to be around. On the other hand, Michael Vick has not been durable. Whether it's the hamstring pull a couple of times or whatever, Michael Vick has not been able to stay out there, and it's unfortunate. You hope that he can come back from this and still be productive. On the other hand, Nick Foles had everybody's hopes high. He played well, as I said, in the second half of the Giants game, in the Dallas game, when he came in against Dallas, he did not look like the same player. Whether he was dinged or something was out of kilter early, I don't know. But the Nick Foles in the Dallas game was a different quarterback than we saw previously against the Giants in Tampa Bay.
And Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley's a rookie. He's a rookie. I thought he was measurably better in his action against the Giants than he was in mop-up duty against the Cowboys. Against the Cowboys, he threw four interceptions, three which counted. Against the Giants, I thought he went through his progressions like somebody who knew what he was doing. He threw some good passes, but he's a rookie, and he made some mistakes.
Is identifying and really getting a firm grasp on these three quarterbacks, is that the number one priority for this coaching staff the rest of the season?
No, I still think the number one priority for this coaching staff is to get this team playing as well as they possibly can and to win. This is a division that is winnable. The Eagles are one game behind the Dallas Cowboys. And going back to that Cowboys game, if the Eagles got a Nick Foles-type performance that was anything like his performance against Tampa Bay, they would have won that game. They would have won the Giants game, the second Giants game, with a decent offensive performance. So I think the number one mission is still to win and to get into the playoffs and get that playoff experience. It is not out of the question. I know I'm seeing things through green-tinted glasses, And I know that it is wishful thinking, or it seems that way at this point after a very disappointing Sunday, but at the same time, it is attainable. On the other hand, right on their heels, suddenly are the Redskins and Giants with two wins apiece. So I still say, number one, go after it and play as well as you possibly can.
Well, it certainly helped us to start off well this weekend against the Oakland Raiders. Mm-hmm. Good football team. They had a big win against the Steelers last Sunday, Merrill. We talk about this team's Raiders. Every time you play the Raiders, which has not been often, brings you back to 1980, to the Super Bowl, your recollections of that whole joyride getting there, and then the disappointment of losing in New Orleans.
Well, they beat the Raiders in a tough game
10-7.
Earlier in the season, a low-scoring game. We go back to that game, and that was a great disappointment because the Eagles were expected to win that game. And they came out, and I can remember Ron Jaworski throwing some passes that were intercepted. I remember the Raiders moving downfield. I think it was Rod Martin who picked off Ron a couple of times. The Raiders going downfield and a touchdown pass to Kenny King. Jim Plunkett had an MVP day. Jim Plunkett, who the Raiders had picked up off the scrap heap and turned into a Super Bowl MVP.
Which is there? Is it possible to say which hurt more, that loss or the loss to the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
Probably that loss. Now, they both hurt. They were both painful. But you knew that going against the New England Patriots, that it was going to be tough. They were playing a premier team. I thought the Eagles were the better team losing to the Oakland Raiders. I don't necessarily think they were the better team. Let's take away the necessarily. They were not the better team going up against the New England Patriots. If you look at the comparative lines, the offensive and defensive lines, the Patriots, everybody points to and looks at Donovan McNabb. But the Eagles lost that game to the Patriots at the line of scrimmage.
Merrill Reese, big one this weekend against the Raiders.
Need it.
Out in Oakland, the black hole. The Eagles invade the black hole. We want to come out with a victory.
They've got to make it the green hole. Turn it into the green hole.
I like that. Merrill Reese, we thank you very much for joining us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Why does she pack these things? I ate one by accident last time, and we won. It's good luck. But it tastes like a dirty old tree branch. What the heck is Quino? But this is for first place.
What is that, a loofah?
It's a Quino.
Bud Light, for the fans who do whatever it takes.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
Today, many hospitals seem to claim they're the best in their areas. But in this region, it's nearly impossible to match the experience of the physicians and nurses of Jefferson Hospital for Neuroscience. With specialized critical care units and advanced technology, it's the region's only hospital totally dedicated to neurosurgery and neurology.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We welcome you inside the studio. Dave Spadaro, joined by former Eagles All-Pro wide receiver and current radio analyst and the co-host of the Game Plan Show in Philadelphia, Mike Quick.
Oh, you got it all in.
Got it all in. I'm good at this stuff. Michael, 3-5 midseason point, your evaluation of where the Eagles are and where they're going to be at the end of the season.
Well, you know what? It's not as bad as it seems.
At 3-5, they certainly could be a lot better. But when you really look at and break down what's happened, they just left a lot of plays on the field. I mean, a lot of plays. And, you know, these guys, they sit in the meeting rooms, they go over the film, and they realize that if we had hit this play or hit, you know, the certain plays that they know they left on the field, they'd be in much better shape. So I know that on the outside, people, there's a lot of doom and gloom. But when they really look at what they had potential of doing and weren't able to do, then I know they feel a lot better about the possibilities going forward.
I mean, it is very difficult to get a sense of just how potent this offense could be.
Yeah.
There have been three quarterbacks playing in the first eight games of the season. Tough to establish continuity and keep it at a high level.
Well, and certainly that's a problem. When you get to the third quarterback on your roster for two games in a row, then you know that you've got some real problems. And that continuity, that's a real key factor in being successful in this league. And right now they just don't have that when you've got two and three different quarterbacks playing in a span of 3 weeks.
Mike, what is the future of Michael Vick? How difficult is it at this point in his career to come back from a hamstring injury that just doesn't seem to want to go away?
Well, and a lot of times those things don't go away for a long period of time. And if you continue to stress it, continue to work, fatigue it, they're hard to go away. You know, as an ex-runner, you realize that once you pull a hamstring, tear a hamstring, the thing that keeps it around is to continue to aggravate it, and that's what he did on Sunday. Aggravated, I think, once again, and you just never know how long it's going to take for it to heal.
We don't know for sure. We won't really know until Sunday, but Nick Foles in line to be the quarterback,
yep.
Return to the starting job after that really tough game against the Dallas Cowboys. So you got a young quarterback here. What are you looking for?
Well, Nick, I just want to see him bounce back because I know he's not as bad as what we saw. And really, the quicker he gets back in the saddle and starts to feel good about his play at the position, because he can play the position, the better for this football team.
Is the offensive scheme, and people have suggested that defenses have caught up to it. Mike, do you believe that?
No, I don't believe that. I think the scheme is a good scheme, and it's just a matter of executing the plays properly. Just as I said earlier, these guys, and especially the skill guys, when they sit in the meetings and they look at the little things that they did wrong from play to play, they realize these plays could have been much bigger. These explosive plays that we're looking for from this team, they were there to be had, but it's just, you know, a player here, a player there, just not quite executing properly.
Michael, this roster age is... average age is 25.9 years. I mean, this is a young
guys,
team.
Yeah.
Important to learn how to win over the course of an NFL season, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the more you start to get comfortable with one another, the better off this team is going to be. The coaches are starting to get comfortable. Players are starting to know one another a lot better. And that's a real key to being successful.
Do you play in Oakland?
I did.
What's it like?
It's crazy,
yeah.
You know, and I think it's gotten worse over the years because the fans in the black hole out there that they call, they've just gotten more fanatical over the years, and I think it's a crazy place to play. I didn't like it because they have the baseball field there, that baseball diamond, and you have to run around that stuff, and that's the part that I never liked.
Yeah, and but for this team, again, a learning experience going out to first trip out to the West Coast for Chip. Going into a hostile environment, team that big win last week against the Steelers. Sunday's going to be a tough game.
It's going to be a very tough game because that's a very talented football team out there. You know, their quarterback Pryor is an outstanding player. Young guy, he's going to make a lot of mistakes, but what a talent. If you give him any run lanes, he can hurt you in the run game. He's got Moore and Streeter on the outside. They have the ability to beat you deep. It's a very, very talented bunch. Defensively, they fly around. They fly around. They hit hard. And they take a lot of pride in playing defense and getting big hits on people.
Well, it's a chance for the Eagles to get back kind of toward the top of the NFC East. Only one game behind the Dallas Cowboys. Kind of remarkable that Eagles are still in it, everybody.
They're still in it.
All right, Mike Quick, we thank you so much for stopping by and joining us inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus steak and cheese wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Hey, if you don't have a chance to call us live on our shows, give us a call on the Bird Phone. We've already established, well, at least one star there. Bob from Virginia, our good buddy, is been lighting it up for us, much to our amusement. Bob, we miss you on the show. Give us a call. But if you can't give us a call when we're live, hey, 215-526-6800. Give us your name, where you're from. Keep the call under 60 seconds, and maybe, just maybe, we'll get you on one of our live shows. Speaking of our live shows, follow us on Twitter, at Eagles Shows. We want to get to 1,000 followers. And when we do, which is going to be dependent upon you, right now following us, we will give out a piece of autographed Eagles merchandise randomly selected by one of our fine staff members, given to one of our at Eagles Shows followers. So do that now. Money in Texas, in Dallas, we're going to get to you in just a moment. First, we want to get to Chip Kelly, his press conference this morning, a little melt of what the head coach had to say. Also on the other side, DeMeco Ryans meets the media, as well as running back LeSean McCoy.
I thought Isaac did a nice job for us, but we felt like we had a couple younger guys that we really need to continue to get in there. And when they played, they continue to really produce. You know, I think Clifton Gathers is a great example. Clifton Gathers played 13 snaps on Sunday versus the Giants and had three contacts with the ball. You know, and he's a guy that just keeps getting better. I think Benny Logan's a guy we need to see more of. Damon Square's a guy who was up for the first two games, but because we kept seven defensive linemen, we brought Vinny up. Then Square is down, but you watch Square every day in practice, and I think Square, Logan, and Gathers need more reps. You know, and if it's a one position on our team that we probably had the most depth on, probably the most inquiries were about our defensive line, and we just thought the value for it, you know, was at that point in time, we didn't think. I think getting the younger guys involved, you know, is going to be beneficial for us. And, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, Benny and Clifton and Square and those guys play a lot more. Nick did really well. You know, I know he was cleared, but just because he was cleared, we needed to see him. I hadn't really had a chance to visit with him, to get him, to watch him out in the field. But I was really happy with how Nick practiced yesterday. One of the good things about practicing on Tuesday is that you can kind of get a chance to get your eyes on people that have been out, you know, and Nick was out. So Nick did a really good job. Nick is going to be our starting quarterback this week, and he'll take the reps with the ones this week, and we'll get ready as a team offensively to prepare for the Oakland.
Jimmy, a term you've used is the quarterback instability. Is this going to be a week-to-week thing?
God, I hope not.
No, until Mike's healthy.
What?
Until Mike's
You know healthy. Something I don't know?
Or is Nick going to get a chance to provide stability?
I hope so. You know, Nick got knocked out in the Cowboys game. I didn't pull Nick out of the game. No, I looked over, Nick's laying on the ground. We got to put another guy in.
But Mike's not going to be injured forever. You know, there is going to be a point when Mike's healthy. So that's.
Let me ask you a serious question. How many times are you going to ask me that same question, and how many different ways are you going to go about it? I am going to make my determination on a weekly basis who our quarterback is, first and foremost, based on health. The ideal world, Mike's the healthiest in the world, Nick's the healthiest in the world, Matt's the healthiest in the world. Let's get to that point in time, and we'll have a conversation.
But that prolongs instability, isn't it?
It doesn't prolong anything. I'm getting ready to play the Oakland Raiders. And I'm getting ready with Nick Foles and Matt because Mike's not practicing today. And that's it. So it doesn't help us, me, anybody, and that's not the way I think, to say, hey, next week when Mike comes back, what are we going to do? Because what happens if next week when Mike comes back, Nick and Matt are hurt? I don't know. And I think you just jump through mental gymnastics of if this happens and that happens and this happens and that, you have no idea. It really doesn't. I don't know. We got ready to play Tampa Bay. Our emergency quarterbacks was James Casey. He pulled his groin on Friday and couldn't go. There's a whole monkey wrench in it. What if I spent all my day on Wednesday on who my emergency quarterback is going to be? I'm good. I got Casey. I'm good to go. And then Friday he gets hurt. Well, when it happens, it happens. That's the way it works. So right now I know going into practice today, Nick Foles is ready to go. We're excited to get him reps with the ones. Matt gets reps with the twos, and let's go play Oakland. We're all about winning games.
I get that. But where does next year come in?
It doesn't come in. It's about beating Oakland. That's it. It's a one-week season, and that's all it is. Last week it was a beating the Giants. There wasn't, hey, what are we going to be like next year, and let's go see if we can activate GJ and throw him in the mix. That's not our mentality. Our mentality is who are we playing right now? And I think it's a disservice to those other players on the team, and it's a disservice to our fans. If I'm thinking about who our quarterback is going to be next year, I'm thinking about beating who we're playing this week. And we're playing the Oakland Raiders, and that's it. That's the deal.
Thank you.
What's that?
It'll never
be that way. We're trying to win the game we're playing this week. And if we start planning long term, I may not be here long term. You know what I'm saying? So let's go beat Oakland.
And that was Chip Kelly just a little while ago and very animated. And hey, it's all about this week, this game, beat the Oakland Raiders. And with that segue, we go to Dallas and talk to Money, who talks to us here. Hey, Money, what's going on, bro?
Hey, Dave, how you doing? I'm a big-time Philadelphia Eagle fan down here in Dallas.
Thank you. Turn that speaker down.
Hey, here's what we need to do.
Okay.
I want to see more alternating the running backs. I studied the last 10 Super Bowls, and if you run three running backs, the reason I say that, you need a committee of running backs to win in the playoffs.
Hey, Money, turn the speaker down, please.
Okay, it's down.
All right. I agree with that to a degree, but, you know, Bryce Brown has been struggling so much. I know what you're saying. You didn't turn the speaker down. Got to go. Sorry about that. I understand the idea of rotating running backs and something that I certainly expected, but look at the numbers on Bryce Brown this year. First of all, just 38 carries. 2.6 rushing average. I mean, that's just – this running game has been – really struggling of late. I'm all for it. I anticipated that the Eagles would be running the football, using actually all three running backs. It really hasn't happened. Gary in Southwest Florida joins us. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all recovered.
Yeah. But, took a while.
Yeah, it did. It did. I had such a litany of things I wanted to talk about earlier in the week, but I never got through.
Go ahead. Give me a call. Give me a quick one.
And I forget. Oh, I didn't like the celebrating after that sack when we were down 15-0 in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
That surprised me. Even though the guy, is a second-year player.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I just thought it wasn't the time for it. You know, I like to see a little bit of class out of these.
I know that fans don't like to see players smiling on the sidelines when they're down. I know fans don't like to see players shaking each other's hands and laughing and, you know, catching up with friends after the game. And I know that there are fans who don't like when the team is trailing to see any sort of celebration. So go ahead, next point.
Okay. And I know why. It's because a lot of these guys aren't Philadelphians. If Philadelphians are out there playing,
I got you.
It would be a brawl.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay. No, there's no more points. I just wanted to say I'm looking forward to this game, 4:00 game. And, I like to see – I was going to call her. I was going to say, hey – Foles is starting to look pretty good. Well, he's looking pretty good right now. I know he'll bounce back. So.
Well, he has to. You know, Gary, he really has to. This is a big moment for Nick Foles and for this Eagles offense. Such a critical game against a good defense. Interesting to see how it all happens.
You know, to me, this guy has career moments. He had one before, and here he's getting another one. Good Lord, yeah, don't you wish you had it?
It's a big one. Hey, Gary, give me a prediction.
I don't see a high-scoring game, but I'm going to say Eagles 27-15.
27-15. Thank you, Gary.
All right, take care.
Thanks. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a career moment for Nick Foles. You know, barring any sort of setbacks, I would think he'd kind of be your starter at least a little while longer. But I think it's a big moment for him. I do. I think he needs to get that taste of what happened against the Dallas Cowboys out of his mind, out of his teammates' mind, out of his coach's mind, out of your minds. He certainly deserves another start, and he's going to get it, barring any setbacks between now and Sunday. In a moment here, we're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans. Eagles linebacker is playing so well. Eagles defense really rallying together, coming along nicely, as well as LeSean McCoy, Eagles running back. Let's go out to the media tent now for D'Amico Ryans.
What's up? A little work.
So I think Oakland's the only team in the NFL that hasn't given up a run longer than 20 yards. Have you looked at them much on tape and seen why they're so good against the run?
I think they're playing well together. They kind of all rallied to the ball. You said what? You can't hear me? Okay. Well, I mean, they play well together. They make plays. They all rally to the ball very well. They're a team that has like a good, I want to say group together. They seem to feed off each other and make plays off each other. So, yeah, I don't see not too many big names where you're like, oh wow, I'm other than Houston on the end. And he's pretty good. And Woodson. Other than that, they just play well together.
LeSean, you've been hard on yourself the last 2 weeks about not hitting some goals. But if you look at the coach's tapes in the end zone, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of leans there for you. Do you still feel the same way?
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Do you still feel the same way after watching the coach, you know, after watching the game film about you not hitting holes, or do you think they're just not there?
They combo both. I think there's some times where things might be bunched up, you know, instead of staying patient and just trusting it's gonna crack. You know, I kind of get unfocused, you know, try to make something happen. I gotta give some credit to certain defenses for just making plays and just being just around the ball. I think they're just crowding it up, you know, and not really too many lanes, but there's some times where I could just maybe trust it a little bit more. This is something I have to get better at.
Do you think a lot of teams pass? I mean, Andy used to pass when he was here. Right. The way you guys run the ball, do you think that the offense is on you more so than the quarterback, whereas other teams it's all on the quarterback and gets the most attention?
Well, you can look at that in different ways. I mean, I think the main focus when you try to stop this team, especially the offense, is you want to stop the run. That's kind of the main goal of a lot of defensive teams. They're coming in here just trying to stop the run. They kind of get the passing game secondary. So as you see, you know, a lot of times they give us a lot of man, you know, and daring us to beat them through the pass. But I think, you know, all starts with the run. I think we get some plays going, you know, running the ball. Then you can work off the play action, you know, get some balls over the top, you know, some quick throws, different things like that. But we got to get the run game going. We got to. Just because the defense comes here and wants to stop it, we got to find a way to adjust and make plays.
What can you do? If they're putting eight guys in the box and your hands, don't you have to?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we obviously got to make some plays in the passing game, but I think the times where I was telling Jeff here, there's times where maybe we might get some positive yards on the ground myself. You know, we got to go and take that and get that. I think the way they're playing the run game, there might not be a lot of opportunities for big plays running-wise, but when there's the opportunity is granted, we got to just take it. You know, we got to capitalize on it. And that's part of the issue, I think, what's going on is this. I'm so used to this. There's going to be plays to make, you know, there's going to be a lot of more opportunities. And the opportunities are getting smaller and smaller. So when we get the opportunities, you know, myself, I need to make them plays.
In the Tampa game, how are you able to run effective there? Nick was obviously the quarterback.
You said the Tampa game?
Tampa game.
Man.
I'm saying because Nick was the quarterback in that game.
Because being honest, I mean, that game is so long gone. You know, this next game, worrying about Oakland. It's really hard to go back. But Nick will be fine. He looked good in practice. He'll be fine. Like I said before, we look at Nick as a starter. We're just blessed to have two guys that can start, you know, on one team.
There have been quite a few teams like in the NFL already that have used three quarterbacks, you guys being one of them. I was wondering, like, what do you think that does to a team, you know, having to adjust to, like, three different quarterbacks during the course of a season? I mean, is it a big deal or not?
I think so, especially for a team like us where we kind of count on our quarterbacks to be a blocker in the sense that we might not block the DN or the linebacker because the quarterback has the ability to run or to get out or just to play fake it off. You know, so then you got three quarterbacks. The defense doesn't pay as much attention to each quarterback the same. I mean, obviously Mike demands so much respect and gets so much attention just from his athletic ability. So it's a little difference. I think with Nick, I think his passion strength is kind of what they fear probably. So, I mean, it's, you know, a defense will play us quarterbacks all different.
Well, what about for you guys as an offense? You know, like not knowing necessarily one way to the other who the quarterback
is. Well, I mean, he's got to be prepared. It's a game. It's a physical game. Just like every back is different. So, if anything happens to myself, you know, Bryce got to step in and we're all run different. So, he's got to be prepared. You know, if it's Nick, if it's Matt, if it's Mike, he's got to be prepared.
Do you remember the 09 game in Oakland?
What mean
More so the atmosphere there, the crowd. What do you remember?
It was crazy. It was loud. The fans were really into the game. And surprisingly to me, because I thought that, you know, they wasn't a winning team, so I figured nobody would come. And we show up there with freaking Raider fans with the spikes on their head. So it was pretty cool. They had the black hole. It was a long trip. It was tons of fun. We lost, so
yeah. It was that fun. People were talking about that. It's still one of the more intimidating places to play. Is that real for an athlete?
I wouldn't say intimidating. Just a different environment. Just the way everything's set up. Just how you have the little black area and the fans are going crazy. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a football game. We're going there to play ball. The fans, they don't have too much to say of the outcome of the game. You know, it's a football game.
If you look at how the season's progressed, how has the way defense has played you changed?
Just more attention to really trying to contain the backs, keep everything in front of them. The backers are way more into the line, the scrimmage, than usual. And everything just seems so cluttered, seems so packed. That's probably the biggest difference I've noticed. And even on some of the fakes, either it's a half fake or an average fake, you know, they're all on it. So that's probably, the biggest difference I've noticed from just earlier in the season to really just the last couple of weeks.
Chip was pretty animated this morning with a lot of questioning about the quarterback. Can you give us an idea of his personality that you see, his demeanor, what you guys see on a day-to-day basis?
He's the same from a good game to a bad game, from a win to a loss. You know, he's always fired up. He's always trying to motivate us to get better. I think he's always his biggest thing, just staying kind of in the middle. You don't want to get too high to get too low. You know, keep working hard, do the small things, pay attention to details, things like that, to being a winning team. You know, it doesn't start on Sunday. It starts the whole preparation the whole week. And I like his attitude. I like Chip reminds me of a player, of one of the leaders, like D'Amico Ryans.
And you know Terrell Pryor?
Last one, guys.
Terrell Pryor, you know him at all?
Yeah, I know Terrell Pryor. I tried recruiting Nicole DePitt. We couldn't afford it. No, I'm joking.
What do you think about how he's disappointed?
It's a joke. Me and Terrell, we cool, all right?
His path to the NFL, he took a strange path to get where he's at now.
I won't call it strange. I mean, he just had to work hard, had to go a different route than everybody else. Well, I think one thing that you can't trade is hard work. You know, you train hard and you stay focused. No matter what you go through, the obstacles, you know, you'll find your dream. And he did that. So,
all right. Sean, we have a conference call. What was the first thing you think about when you see a quarterback take off and run 93 yards for a touchdown?
He's an exceptional athlete. That's one thing about Pryor. He's an exceptional athlete. And, you know, a quarterback who take it to the house for 98 yards, you know, that's a special player. So we definitely are focused on him a lot this week. Know that he's a big-time playmaker for their team. He gets their team going. He's their guy. So we're definitely focused on them. And we know we have to stop him to stop their running game.
Anything that separates him from some of the other dual threat, you know, run-pass quarterbacks in the league?
I mean, I don't. I never played against him, but just watch him on film, just, you know, he's a guy who can take it to the house. He can make some guys miss, breaks tackles, does a good job of that, and, you know, he's just a real fast guy.
Which is easier to prepare for, a conventional quarterback like an Eli or a guy like this? Is he much more difficult to prepare for?
It just presents different challenges. I can't say that it's much more difficult to prepare for him. We just have to focus on different things, and that's the quarterback, you know, running the ball.
Obviously, the nose tackle is pretty important for the inside linebacker. What have you seen from some of these younger guys who are going to get more of the opportunity to play now that Sosa's here?
Yeah, our younger guys are playing well. They do they play their techniques well. And that's all you can ask of them. They do their job up front. They allow us as linebackers to make plays. You see a lot of our young guys now, they're making plays in the running game where they're making it tough on us to get tackles because they're making so many plays in the run game because they're doing so well at playing their technique.
We haven't seen Square in a game active since week two. Can you kind of tell us what you've seen from him in practice?
Square is a technician. You know, he's played played in the scheme for a long time. I think going back to high school, he's always played, you know, in the scheme that we're playing in. And, you know, he's just a technician. You see him work, he does a good job at it.
Could you tell that even though he was not active, that he was going at it in practice?
Oh, yeah, I could tell. He's always, since the first day he got here, you know, he was always just stood out to me as a guy who is, you know, very fundamentally sound in what he does. And he did go to a great school.
Chip was saying that last Sunday Michael Kendricks played like his best game of the season. What have you seen from him in his development?
He's just getting better and better each week. You know, Michael is he's a big-time playmaker for us. He did a great job of tackling last week, made some big plays for us, and, you know, just continue to see him get better.
Have you tried to work with Michael? It seems the one area that he may have trouble with is when he's facing a big tight end and a guy like Gates or even Myers is able to kind of use some leverage and get off him and get open. Just anything that you picked up along the way you try to impart on Mike to stick with those guys?
He understands. He's the toughest critic on himself, so he knows what he has to do to correct those mistakes and not let, you know, people body him too much.
Nico, the last couple of weeks, seems like you've been more physical as far as knocking players off their routes when they come across the middle. Has that been a point of emphasis more recently than early on? Or?
No, it's just not a point of emphasis, just what I try to do. Sometimes I get them, sometimes I don't. This past couple of weeks, I've been getting some good shots on guys. But just let them know that, you know, receivers can't just run across the middle and not expect to get hit.
Does practicing, I guess, well, maybe not lately, but does practicing against Michael Vick kind of help you guys, you know, preparing for Pryor, or is it not really?
Not really. We just focus on the film and what they do offensively, and, you know, we take it from there.
Nate Allen seems like a much different player than we saw at the beginning of the season. Is there one or two things that you can point out as to why he's really seemed to grasp things like that?
It's just consistent with what he's doing. And that's overall. You see that from a lot of guys. You know, Nate and our guys in the back, Nate and Earl, those guys just being consistently getting better at their technique, consistently getting better at their calls and communication, and it allows them to play better.
If you look at Pryor's runs, are they mostly coming off the designed runs, or is he scrambling by time?
It's both. You know, it's both. It's, you know, design runs for him, and he's just scrambling, trying to make a play on a lot of runs also.
Bill Davis got a lot of heat at the beginning of the year, but he never really wavered at all. He always knew that the improvement would come. How would you describe his coaching style, just the way that he carries
it? He's been the same person from the start to up until now. You know, that's one thing about him. He doesn't change as a coach. He's not up and down with if everybody's riding us, giving us a hard time. He still comes in and talks about the little things, the techniques, the fundamentals. And that speech hasn't changed from when we weren't doing so well even to now when we are doing better. It's still the same speech, is focusing on those little things. And that's one thing you get from Billy. He's just a consistent coach, even keel, and he gets the message across to us.
Any memories or anything that recollections that stick out about playing at the Black Hole?
Any memories? I had a couple good games out there, so hopefully we can repeat that this time around.
What about like the stadium, the crowd?
Stadium?
Like any other stadium?
Yeah, I mean, you see some people with you know, face paint and shoulder pads, but it's no big deal to me.
You have two interceptions, I guess, in your career, I think, more than any other team. It's, you know, quarterbacks change, systems there have changed, but is there just something about playing Raiders that...
I don't know. I just had my day, you know, when I went out to Oakland. I just fell into a lot of good games, but that's been a while ago, and they've had a lot of different offenses, different quarterbacks since then. So, you know, looking to just stop prior this week.
Against a running quarterback like Pryor, do you play more zones? So you can kind of keep an eye on them as opposed to playing man and having to turn and run.
We mix it up. We don't change our game plan. We mix it up and try to keep them off guard.
All right, that's D'Amico Ryans meeting the media, getting ready for an explosive Raiders offense led by quarterback Terrell Pryor in a very hostile environment. Stay tuned for the rest of the day. Eagles update will come your way later on today. And then, of course, we're back tomorrow with another Eagles Live, and we've got a great show for you tomorrow, including our pre-snap read. Fantasy guru Joe Dolan gives us the fantasy spin, and we might even get Brian Baldinger in studio if we can. All that and a whole lot more coming your way. Eagles Live tomorrow at noon on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.